When you look around, maybe even look in the mirror, do you ask yourself this question? Why are we so messed up? Look at the world. Look at our country. Look at our politics. Look at our institutions. Look at our families. Look at our men, women, and children. Look at human behaviors in each of these contexts. Pretty messed up, right? Why are we so messed up? If this question wasn't rhetorical, I would get lots and lots of opinions about the reasons. The belief systems of people responding to that question would be in full display. Nothing wrong with that. I would expect a fundamentalist Christian to talk about Satan, our sinning ways, and the things that are contrary to their understanding of the Bibles. Liberals would probably blame conservatives, and vice versa. Republicans would blame Democrats, and vice versa. Whites would blame blacks and Hispanics, immigrants, Muslims. Blacks would blame whites. Others would blame Wall Street, pharmaceutical companies, the medical system, the military-industrial complex. Others still would blame the power of money in American politics that buys politicians. And some people would blame government. But it's not so much government, it's people in government. And the finger-pointing could go on and on. The answer to the question of why we are so messed up is human behavior. All those other attempts at answering the question can be subsets of human behavior. Without understanding the dynamics of human behavior, most people are trying to control the behavior of other human beings instead of their own. We justify our behaviors while condemning the behaviors of others. If we don't understand what drives our behaviors, how can we learn to manage ourselves? Some years ago, I was trying to figure out the meaning of life. You could laugh. I looked at the concept of energy and went on from there. In terms of energy, what were living beings doing? I concluded with a six-step energy model of life. Here are the steps. Energy acquisition, energy preservation or protection, energy translation, energy expression, energy release, and closure. The sequence is logical. You can also look at yourself and your life and notice where you are balanced and strong in areas and where you're not so balanced or perhaps even weak in an area. You could also observe people you know and determine where they are strong or weak or even too strong or too weak. As a simple example, think of that person who takes and takes, lies to get what they want, they're greedy, etc. They are overly acquisitive in the opinions of most of us, but it is justified in the minds of the acquisitive ones. We all acquire energy to feel better. We need energy to grow. We need it in order to feel nurtured and nourished. Bodily repair and healing require energy. We need energy to feel safe and protected. If we have enough energy, our needs will be fulfilled. We will be able to do meaningful work, and of course, our chances of survival are increased. These natural steps in my energy model of life are directly influenced by our egos. Our ego is necessary for our existence of our individuality. That is a good thing. The ego has four driving needs that express through the personality, and these needs intersect with the steps of the energy model of life. The first driving need of the ego that expresses through the personality is to defend the self from criticism, emotional, or physical attack. Even plants have the impulse to defend themselves, as do other living creatures. This is the self-protective impulse, or energy preservation step, in my energy model. The second driving need is to push people aside in order to come in first in the race of life. People do all sorts of things to win. They lie, cheat, steal, and those are just a few behaviors of humans. Some plants will crowd out other plants. in their desire to thrive. The third driving need of the ego is to push aside others and to take the best for the self. You can see this behavior in people and other animals. This is obvious in so many contexts. It is related to energy acquisition. You can see a billionaire needs more billions to feel satisfied, and after that, more billions still. The fourth driving need is the impulse to keep what we have acquired. That includes friends, family, money, property, status, power, influence, etc. Again, there are many situations in daily life where this human behavior is observable. And not just humans. Try taking a bone away from a dog or violate its territory, and you'll see this need in action. If you aren't aware of the ego's functioning in you or others, it's like being blind or deaf. When your ego becomes overly active, you can manage it back into appropriate levels, provided you understand what is happening. We're also messed up because of television and other forms of media that misinform or inform or distort what is actually happening on the planet. If you're silly or naive enough to watch news programs on television, notice the patterns to the stories they focus on. There will be crime stories, then the man saves cat from tree type stories that are heartwarming, medical miracles, other stories about the worst of human behaviors, political blaming stories depending on the station's agendas, and so on. And they loop through that pattern. At the end of watching, you will tend to be angry, disheartened, more hate-filled, maybe even hopeless, or physically de-energized. A few years ago, I was struck by the negatives of a TV series, Hawaii Five-O. I basically liked the characters, but the gruesome murder scenes, etc., were very off-putting. I decided to re-watch that typical episode and to tally up the negative behaviors and the positive behaviors that were on display. I made a checklist, and I had aggression, an inability to share with others, criticism, denigration, devising means and ways to become rich at the expense of others, double and devious dealings, enmity, failing to perform work conscientiously or give good value for money, falsehoods, intolerance, judgmentalism, love of possessions, rejection, sarcasm, snarling, stealing, snapping, thieving, and violent impulses. During the show, there was a theft of diamonds. There were 7 homicides. There were 2 examples of indiscriminate shooting. And there were 2 scenes of nurturing and caring. The negatives totaled 92. The positives, 2. I have stopped watching Hawaii Five-O because I understand that these energies enter our consciousness when we see or hear them. I don't want this poisoned poured into me. We're messed up because we don't understand that we're in an electromagnetic universe. We are electromagnetic as people. Other living forms are electromagnetic. The Earth is electromagnetic. The Sun and the Moon are electromagnetic. In electromagnetism, there are 2 concepts. Bonding, rejecting. If you want to prove this to yourself, go to your refrigerator, pull off a couple of magnets, and try to stick them together. If you have them oriented correctly, they will bond together. If you have them the same poles facing one another, you will experience rejection. The magnets will actually repel one another, no matter how hard you try to get them to bond together. Bonding, rejecting are what happen. You can watch what people do. They bond with certain people and things and activities, and they reject certain people, things, and activities. This is so fundamental to human behavior, but we think nothing of it, even if we're aware of it. We have other needs besides the four driving needs of the ego expressing through the personality that I mentioned a moment ago. I use a handy, convenient, easy to remember system that I speak out as Sfuli plus two. S-F-U-L-I plus two. We have a need to survive. We have a need for freedom. We have a need to feel useful. We need to experience and give love. And we have identities that are constantly shifting and changing based upon the environmental signals and mainly how we process those signals and what they mean to us according to our own interpretation. So that's the S-F-U-L-I. The plus two is the need to be right. We go to war in order to be right. We kill people in order to be right. And the final one is the need to look good, get approval. We do lots of posturing, lots of, you know, stretching out our feathers. You can watch a bird do this sort of thing. We're all trying to pose and do everything we can in order to get attention and acceptance and to connect to others. I developed a rule after watching people in action, and I recognized that everybody acts in their own self-interest according to their level of awareness. You do, I do, everybody does. And it's a natural and normal thing. A saint would act in their own self-interest. A caveman would act in his own self-interest. The difference between those two, of course, is their level of awareness. It is possible to listen to the ego totally and believe that we are the only individual on planet Earth that actually matters. And maybe we'll modify that and say, well, my family members, they matter. But outside of myself and others, they don't matter. Or the saint would take the opinion that everybody matters. We're all one. To hurt another being is to hurt oneself. And that would make a lot of sense, given that the law of cause and effect is in operation all the time, every time. We do reap what we sow. So when you're engaging with someone else, you have to take into consideration your own self-interest and your level of awareness, and at the same time be able to do the same thing for the other person. If they're a caveman, you're going to want to increase the distance between you and that person, or at least you will activate your levels of self-preservation and self-protection. You'll go on guard. Another reason we're so messed up is that we have bought into the idea that we are not enough. And if you took those two words and put any number of words in between them, you would recognize your thinking as well as the thinking of people that you've had conversations with. I'm not tall enough, thin enough, rich enough, smart enough, handsome enough, pretty enough, thin enough, uneducated enough, on and on. We buy into that, and it's promoted, right? Because people then turn around and say, you know what I have? I have something that will help you overcome your not enoughness. It's called 80-proof liquor. It's called the coolest cigarettes. It's called these pharmaceutical drugs. We buy into this idea that we are not enough. We are enough. We need to accept and learn how to accept the truth of that. We're in the process of becoming. So, are we enough? Well, I don't know. If you were to look at something growing in your garden, you know, is it enough? We would say it's enough when it's fully, fully bloomed. But if we look at a rose that is in the form of a bud, we'd go, well, as a rosebud, it is enough. And I know it is becoming more and more, and I'm patient with that. We are like that as well. We're becoming more and more as we grow, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, depending on the efforts that we put into that, how acquisitive of awareness we are. Because when it comes down to it, it is our level of awareness that is going to make us safer in this world. It's going to make us happier in this world. It's going to make us more successful and healthier in this world. And it gives us an opportunity to be a greater contribution to the quality of life in this world. You can look around and see how you try to deal with this idea of not enoughness. Whenever I write those phrases, I capitalize both of those words because I think it's a really serious condition. It's epidemic. You can see people responding to Red Bull commercials. Why? Because they don't have enough energy. They need more sugar and caffeine and whatever else is in Red Bull or similar products. People reaching for a cigarette are thinking that they are taking steps because they are not relaxed enough. And the cigarette, putting smoke in their lungs, is going to be the answer to that. And people who are anxious in a public setting, in a party or something, reaching for alcohol because they are not at ease enough. And of course, we try to do all kinds of things to make ourselves attractive. So if we're not attractive enough, then we do all kinds of things. Clothing and jewelry and fancy Rolexes and on and on and on in an effort to become attractive enough. Diet books have been bestsellers for years and years on New York Times bestseller lists and Amazon as well. Why? Because we're not thin enough. How do we know? We're told we're not thin enough. Whenever they use a scale of how much you should weigh based upon your height and maybe the body structure, you go, man, they changed that again? Wow. And so many people are not thin enough. When you recognize that each of us is alive to some degree, hopefully more rather than less, that this life that's inside of us, that is not inside of a person who has died, there is a source of that life. Call it what you will. In English, in America, the common phrase is God. God would be identified as being within us. Or maybe God is up on a cloud and maybe life force is within us. However you look at it, there's got to be a source of that life that when a person dies, it vacates the body. Being in relationship, that is, thinking about it, trying to understand it, trying to understand and experience the source of your life, which is the same source of my life, which, depending on your spiritual beliefs, this may be insulting, is the same source of a person in Muslim territory, or Hindu territory, or Buddhist territory. The same source exists within all of us. And the more we are connected to that source of life, you would think, well, I'd probably be more alive than if I'm disconnected from that source, or if I'm afraid of that source, or if I'm terrified, or I'm undeserving. It is to our advantage to understand and experience this powerful force in our lives all the time, since it is responsible for the things that go on automatically in our bodies, the growth, new cells being formed. It's not like we're making decisions about that. It's happening pretty much despite a lot of our own behavior. When you look around and decide on what you're going to eat, unless it came out of a factory of Monsanto or someplace else like that, this stuff came from the soil or came from the water. Not designed by human beings, but in fact provided to us. The healing that goes on, if you scratched your knee or had serious cuts and bruises or even surgeries, that healing occurs naturally. It's not a conscious decision on your part. Oh, I cut myself the other day. I forgot to think about healing. And it didn't heal. That's not happening. It's healing, whether you're thinking about it or not. That source of life is doing this. For many of us, we recognize that we've had experiences in our lives where we seem to be protected in certain dangerous situations, so much so that the protection seems to be almost otherworldly. Like, wow, I zigged when I was intending to zag, and it's a good thing too, otherwise I would have been seriously injured or would have died. And when I've recited that idea to a few clients, they immediately go off and explain animatedly the couple of experiences where their lives were saved despite what they were doing, and they couldn't understand it. They have been unable to identify how it occurred or what did it. I would suggest it's our source that is protecting us. We have immune systems. We have skin. We have eyelashes. We have this ability to move our head if we think something is coming at our eyes really quickly. It's like, what programming does that, and who was the programmer? You didn't learn that from your parents. Okay, kids, when things come at your eye really fast, like a baseball or a stone or something, you're gonna move your head really fast out of the way. I never had that class, but nonetheless, my body is able to do it. When we recognize that we can place an order, we can express a need, when we can declare it to ourselves, and it becomes clear that there is something automatic that happens in us and around us to make the fulfillment of that need a reality. My favorite book of all time, Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth, talks about, as you start to become more aware of this idea, that you will recognize your needs are being fulfilled before you even realize you have a need. And when I read that for the first couple of times, I thought, that's kind of cool. And then maybe a few weeks later, I started to notice it. On Monday, I got the answer. And on Wednesday, I got the question. I went, oh, well, I know the answer. I just was handed that the other day. Somebody handed me a paper, or something else occurred that I knew the answer to the question before the question ever arrived in my awareness. And it went on like that in concrete things. I mentioned it to Mary Ann. She said, oh, that's an interesting idea. That's kind of cool. A couple of weeks later, she said, it's happening. I said, what's happening? She said, my needs are being fulfilled before I realize I have a need. And she went through a couple of examples. She found something, and then 3 days later needed what she found. And it went on and on and on, dealing with clients, and dealing with things around the house, and dealing with family members. She was fascinated by it and recognized it. Guess what? In the electromagnetic world, we're electromagnetic, which says we can use our electric nature to activate something, and we can use our magnetic nature in order to attract things to us. We can also interfere with them. But if you are aware that you have these capabilities, you can put out a desire and draw it to you. It automatically works. A lot of information has been taught in the last 10 or so years, starting with Abraham Hicks, about the law of attraction. Personally, I wish they had put more emphasis on the law of cause and effect so people would be more aware of the consequences of their behavior and maybe even moderate their behaviors. But nonetheless, the law of attraction says that vibrationally, you can draw to you that which you're equal to. If you're not equal to something, oh, I got to have a couple of $1 million, $92 million, $408 million. But if you're not vibrationally equal to it, it's not going to come into your experience. It is becoming vibrationally equal to that which you want, be it health, a loving relationship, a place to live, work that is meaningful and fulfilling, and other forms of success. Becoming vibrationally equal to it is where we can devote lots of attention. So, why are we so messed up? I think because we don't understand how to create. We don't understand why we do what we do, and why others do what they do. And we think, largely in a consumer kind of environment that the United States is, taking, consuming, eating is what's going to lead to happiness. And in fact, building, creating, sharing, helping other people is what creates happiness. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. As we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.